This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, December 2nd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. With Black Friday behind us, the focus is now on the internet madness of Cyber Monday. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the Bears are not only in the market for a new stadium, but also for new on-field leadership. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Court Limited in Chicago. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And there is one variable that is set in stone, Mark, as we go, as the Bears embark on their search for their next head coach after firing Matt Eberflus on Friday, and that is the quarterback problem is solved. I mean, we can't say that Caleb Williams is elite just yet, but he is certainly the guy, capital T, capital G. So you need a coach who can drive a sports car. And historically, when you have these types of head coach searches, when you know the quarterback is there and he can lead the team, how do you approach a head coach search with those factors in place?
The single most important factor is the leadership. The head coach is actually the manager of a really big business. He has a lot of assistant coaches, trainers, medical staff, as well as the players. Scouts in some cases also. So what the head coach needs to be is a great leader across a variety of areas. So he also has to be a great manager. By the time guys are at the level of being considered for a head coach, they've had lots of leadership positions. But what we've seen is a lot of these guys fail when they go to become the number one. They're great as an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, but they just can't make that switch when they have to run the entire operation, be telegenic and friendly to the media, and be able to motivate the players. This is going to be a once-in-a-generation selection the Bears are making now. Kevin Warren, Ryan Pace, they are going to be looking for somebody who's going to make this franchise and this quarterback, Caleb Williams, their franchise quarterback for championships. It's no longer just playing the games or being competitive. They have to be a championship caliber team, and that starts with the selection of the head coach.
Now, let's go back through all of the championship-winning coaches in the history of Chicago sports, and we can do that in 60 seconds, Mark, because it's not like we're Boston or New York here, but Mike Ditka, obviously, is the first name that pops into your mind when you think about Super Bowl-winning coaches in Chicago, because he's the only one. But when he came in 1982, hired by George Halas, he was off the Tom Landry tree. I mean, forget about his Bears lineage. He had been learning from Tom Landry in Dallas, but he was also a media presence, and he was a very good manager of people. And does it matter if you come off of a coaching tree, as long as you have the ability to get through to people, like, for example, an Ozzie Guillen did?
You know, in football, coming off the coaching tree is the single most it's the single biggest factor that would indicate and lead to success. You look at all the people that came off of the Bill Walsh coaching tree, by way of example, who've won Super Bowls and have had great, great careers. It's the Lantry tree as well. It is really important because you learn not just what the X's and O's are, but you learn how to manage everyone and you learn how to motivate everyone. It's vitally important. And let's think of another head coach in Chicago, the switch of basically the same team on the Chicago Bulls from Collins, if you remember, to Phil Jackson. They could only get to a certain point when Collins was their head coach. With Phil Jackson, they won 6 championships. That's the difference. It's so hard to find. It's so hard to define. But when you see it, it almost seems obvious in the results.
Mark Annis, president and co-founder, Sports Corp Limited in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today, lending some insight into the Bears' new head coaching search. Coming up, keyboards and phones burning up today with people looking for Cyber Monday deals.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Cyber Monday with shoppers scouring the internet in search of amazing savings. Let's check in with Bob Phibb, CEO of the Retail Doctor in New York, the website retaildoc.com. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And it is indeed Cyber Monday, but you don't need me to tell you. All you have to do is open up your email inbox, and it's overflowing today with offers and deep discounts. What kind of math goes into offering Cyber Monday discounts? I mean, are they basically selling these items to you at cost, or are they losing a little bit of money with every Cyber Monday transaction?
Well, that's always the great question, isn't it? Right. So the big boxes, the Lowe's, the Best Buy and all them can buy shiploads of product. And that's with a P, by the way, versus.
Thank you for clarifying.
Just in case little 7-second rule was broached. Whereas your little smaller retailers, they don't buy as much, so they can't. And, you know, a loss leader is what they used to call it in the old days, that you would lose it because you'd get it on volume. The thing is, there's always somebody cheaper right now. You know, that's back when we had 3 television stations and you could say that. Nowadays, you know, if you're willing to get a customer at any cost, there's someone stupid enough to do that. But all of the big retailers, the Macy's, everybody else knows how it all works together. In the old days, it'd be with spreadsheets. Now it's with AI. But they're understanding that the profitability, along with that marketing, has to happen. And by the way, in your intro, Rob, you left out one of the most annoying things people are doing right now. It's new. Haven't you gotten any messages from a retailer on your smartphone yet?
Oh, yes. I actually get a couple, 2-3 text messages from retailers because I signed up to get the discount for some shirt 3 or 4 years ago. And that's led to a beautiful relationship with the people at Polo Ralph Lauren.
Well, it's a good weekend. You know, we're coming off a very strong weekend. Yes, foot traffic might have been down. And by the way, as everyone is prognosticating today, until the government releases their sales data for the period, there is nobody that knows exactly what's going on. But everything is pretty much falling out where we thought it would. It's going to be about a 3% increase in sales. The winter so far, jewelry sales seem to have been up substantially. Apparel is down. It's seemingly cold in the north. As you know, I'm over in New York, and you're in Chicago. It's Arctic-like. But we had a warm fall, which impacted a lot of apparel, so people didn't quite know what to do with that. And yeah, department stores, traffic might be down, but they all seem to be doing well. And oddly enough, liquor stores, grocery stores, and bookstores are all doing 2% more than they did last year. So wide area of hope as people are out there spending.
In general, is Friday the bigger day of the Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving shopping weekend, or has Monday eclipsed Black Friday?
Well, again, back when we had 3 TV stations, Friday was it because all the retailers were closed Thursday. And let's face it, November is just Black Friday. I mean, that's kind of it. Amazon started, I think, back in October with their deals, and everybody's continuing forward. And yes, oh, you're going to lose out on Cyber Monday, but the text will come tomorrow. Hey, we held it over. Lucky you. And, you know, it's all so cynical, but at the end of the day, look, if I can get a dollar from you today, then that's a dollar less you're going to spend with somebody else. So that's the dynamics of what it's playing out with. But, you know, it's an incredible amount of money that has changed hands in the last several days. They're expecting it like $17 billion. And Cyber Monday, don't forget, was a day that created because people were working and they didn't have internet access. So that's when they got to work is when they shopped. Well, we're doing it on our smartphones now. So the whole idea of Cyber Monday is kind of like Black Friday. It's kind of a joke. Out there and spend. Keep America strong. Keep those jobs.
You could do it on the train. You could do it at work. You could do it in bed. Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Find him online at theretaildoc.com. Coming up next, protecting yourself while doing your online and app-based shopping.
You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Cyber Monday, which also brings with it some potential danger to your personal and financial information. Let's review some of the ways you can protect yourself with the help of Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. And because Thanksgiving was late this year, you only have maybe 3 weeks worth of shopping days until Christmas. And maybe in your haste to get all of your shopping done, you click on a phishing link and, oh no, you've caused all sorts of problems. Either on your workplace computer network or at home. So what are some things you can do, Jerry, to make sure that you can shop safely online this holiday season?
Yeah, it's very important. They're suggesting that as many as 2 out of 3 people will be hit by some type of phishing scam during this holiday season. So the first thing you should do is prepare yourself, right? Go to your web browser and go to settings in it and delete all of your old history, delete your cookies, delete any information that's in there, because that information can save your credit card information if you've put it in before, or passwords to other sites. And the biggest thing the phishing scams are going after are your user IDs, passwords, credit cards. All of that information can be saved in your browsers. So before you even start shopping, go in there and clean up your browsers, okay? The other thing you can do, all of the browsers out there have something that's called either an incognito page or a private page. Safari's, it's private. Google Chrome is incognito. And what those pages do when you go on them is they don't provide any information that's saved from any other site that you're using. So if you've put in your user ID and password on another page, it won't use that. It won't tell them your address. It won't give the websites information on you that you don't specifically want them to have. Now, this makes it a little more difficult to do your shopping because you're going to have to type everything in. If you've saved it in the past with your address and phone numbers and all that stuff, you're going to have to type it in this time, but it's a lot more secure. So prepare yourself before you start shopping by cleaning up your browser and cleaning and using these private web browsers.
And also use trusted websites, because we talked about how we just get inundated with a flood of retail emails, especially today and just basically all weekend long. And some of those emails could actually be from the store it claims to be, and others could be attempts to grab your information. So you're probably just better off going to the store's website and avoiding the email altogether.
Exactly. Don't click on coupon sites. Don't click on the coupon texts or anything that you see. Go to the website itself. I have a friend who called me the other day. He clicked on a coupon, and as soon as he clicked on it, it came up and his PC said, "You have a virus." And now he doesn't know what to do. So it says, "Oh, call Microsoft at this 1-800 number." So what did he do? He called that number. It wasn't Microsoft. They took all of his information. He had to delete his banking accounts, his credit cards, all of that. So if you do get stuck by a phishing scam, if you do get hacked, do not call the numbers that are on no screen. Turn your PCs off immediately. Call somebody you know. Go to, a local computer store or whatever and have them look over your computer, because it only takes them seconds to gather every piece of information on your computer. And those things we talked about on your web browser, your cookies and all that information, that's the first thing they go after. Then they start looking at your files that say statements and things of that nature.
Jerry Irvine, CIO, Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Chicago's winter parking ban is now being enforced after a one-day break for drivers. President Biden backs out at a pledge not to pardon his son. A trio of blockbusters fuels a massive weekend at the box office. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a pair of ideas from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 106 points, the NASDAQ is up 167, and the S&P 500 is up 14. We have 24 degrees right now under partly sunny skies. At 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. After a one-day reprieve, the city of Chicago is enforcing its winter overnight parking ban. Muriel Williams of Rogers Park picked up her car from the pound after initially panicking when she couldn't find it this morning, where she had parked it near Clark and Pratt.
It's just under $200, praise God. So thankfully I have it, and I'm glad that they have my car and not, that it's been stolen.
The ban lasts from December 1st to April 1st and is in effect regardless of snowfall. President Biden has pardoned his son Hunter in a statement. The president said he made the move because he believes the only reason the case was brought forward was because of Hunter's family ties. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson weighs in on the decision.
The entire process of this prosecution by a special counsel had become very politicized. And at this point, President Biden really has nothing to lose, at least not politically.
Hunter Biden was scheduled to be sentenced later this month on drug and weapons-related charges. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are mixed today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, thank you for joining us today. And the big story stock of today so far is Intel, a change at the top and a strategic retirement.
Well, good afternoon, Rob, and thanks for having me on. You know, Intel needs to do something to shake it up. They're getting their lunch handed to them by, quite honestly, innovators like NVIDIA, and it's not a surprise. So we'll see what happens. Sometimes you change your C-suite guys and nothing really happens because you have just too much structural problems. So we will see. We don't own Intel. We don't have any desire to own Intel, but they have their work cut out for them to catch up to the innovators in that space.
And of course, a lot of data coming in this week, beginning with manufacturing, which shows that the segment is still in contraction.
Well, and manufacturing, 20 years ago, that was the thing that people pointed to. But now we're a service economy, so we can get by with these kinds of numbers. Certainly, we think that with President Trump coming into office, that maybe these numbers will start picking up again. But it's tough because, the economy is moving towards services. So, we'll have to see. But the overall macro numbers have been fine. We've had jobless claims and unemployment, coming up. But last week we had core PCE, which came in 2.8% year on year. That is actually a little bit on the hot side. So, we'll have to see as the numbers come in this week, which is, as I said, jobless claims and unemployment Thursday and Friday. And then also Chairman Powell speaks on Wednesday. So there's things that are coming up. It's just we're in the area of the calendar where there's not as much data, no earnings. We do have a Fed meeting coming up, but it generally is a time when the market, it tends to melt up. But we're so high right now, over 6,000 the S&P. I don't know that there's going to be that Christmas rally we expect normally, because I think we pulled it forward into the election. I think it's going to be just a flat market to maybe even down slightly until we get into next year. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm bullish for next year, but certainly not as bullish as I would be in a normal year. When right now we got S&P at 6,050. That's 22 times forward earnings. I mean, Rob, that's about as high as you're going to get in a market where rates are where they're at, which is, you know, the 10 years over 4%. It just macroeconomically, it doesn't make sense that we have a big rally coming up. And I caution investors that if there's a time to have a little bit of cash on the sidelines, a little bit of bullets in case we have a pullback, this is definitely the time to have that.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, an island girl and witches are packing movie theaters.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The movie industry is celebrating a colossal weekend at the box office thanks to three blockbusters. Welcome in Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore, based in Los Angeles. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And boy, it was really a gargantuan weekend, a long weekend, holiday weekend at the box office. You had Gladiator 2, you had Moana, and you also had Wicked, and you had cold temperatures across much of the northern U.S. So that was a great combination for just sitting inside and taking in some movies.
It was the perfect storm of box office, to be sure, Rob. I mean, unbelievable. So the five-day period, which is traditional for how we track the box office from the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Day through yesterday, brought in $425 million at the domestic box office. To put that in a little bit of perspective, the entire month of February this year did not earn that much. So in 5 days, we got $425 million, and that was driven by Moana 2. We have updated numbers on Moana 2. The estimates were that it did $221 million for the 5 days. The updated numbers, $225.2 million. So just an astounding result. That trifecta of those movies you mentioned just knocked it out of the park.
Now, with Moana 2, I mean, there must be some research now about the Disney Plus ecosystem and how this drives sequels to existing Disney properties. Because I would imagine there were millions of families across the country that they have iPhones, they have iPads, they have Disney Plus on their smart TV at home. And if the kids want to kill a couple of hours, they just put on Moana, and they listen to You're Welcome and the great Lin-Manuel Miranda soundtrack, and that led them to really want to see Moana 2 when it came out, and that appears to be, you know, just existing on streaming and being there for everybody. That seems to be really providing rocket fuel to Disney's movie theater offerings.
You absolutely nailed it. That's exactly what's happening. So, you know, a lot of people think of streaming and the big screen as being adversarial, but they're actually additive and complementary. And so many people were at home watching the first Moana that came out in 2016, getting excited for seeing Moana 2. That hits the theaters. Everyone leaves the house, goes to the movie theater, and propels this massive debut. And then down the road, Moana 2, guess what? It's going to wind up on Disney Plus and will be a huge hit. So ping-ponging the audience back and forth between the streaming service and the movie theater is a model and a strategy that absolutely works.
And then with Wicked, now that it's the adaptation of the fantastically successful Broadway musical, and it's in two parts. This is Wicked Part 1. There will be Wicked Part 2 next fall. And if you're a studio and you're trying to place a wager on whether this movie is going to be successful enough to get people into the sequel, was there even any question when it came to Wicked? Or was there a little bit of concern that, hey, maybe this thing could underperform, which it clearly has not?
Well, it clearly is not, but you're right. I mean, you never know. With musicals, it can go either way. We've had some that overperformed, some that absolutely fell flat, even though they were well-known IP. But the bottom line is, this is the best possible news for Wicked Part 2 is the success of Wicked Part 1. But you notice they kind of took that out of the title for this one. Because a lot of times if you put a Part 1 in a title, people think, well, I don't want to see half a movie. I don't want to wait for the second film. But it's worked out perfectly for Wicked. Gladiator 2 as well. There's some big movies coming up in December. And we knocked down the year-to-date deficit year over year from 10.6% a week ago to now 6.3%, 4 percentage points basically off that year-to-date deficit in one fell swoop with this massive record-breaking $425 million 5 days for movie theaters.
Now, obviously, last year and even into early this year, the movie theater and the movie business, you know, movie theater business and the movie business itself, having a hard time just because the pipeline shut down because of the writers and actors strikes. Now that the production machinery is back up and running and has been for a year, does that mean the assembly line into the movie theater is going to be pretty consistent from here on out?
Yes, and that's the key, because we found that with the disruption, the work stoppages and the strikes, and then that affected the release calendar, threw that into disarray. We really didn't get on track till June of this year. We didn't have our first $100 million opening until Inside Out 2 in mid-June. So now we're back on track. There's no more dog ate my homework excuse that the release calendar is disrupted. We're back. And I think if you look at 25 and 2026, as long as nothing else crazy happens, we're going to have a great slate of films at a cadence and frequency that'll keep the momentum going at the box office. Great news for theaters. Couldn't have come at a better time. We're going to finish the year on a high note as we hit the home stretch.
Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore, based in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker. It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. Helping us out today is Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Chris, thank you for joining us today. Two selections on this Stock Picker Monday, and your first is from a financial services company that's not too far away from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about One Main Holdings, engaging in consumer finance and the insurance businesses across the United States. I love this company. They're very well diversified. But you know what's cool about them, too? If you listen to me at all, you know that I love to pick stocks that gap. And so this is a gapping stock. And back in early, let's see, the holding, the sticker is OMF. It's trading at 57.04 right now. It has a dividend of just over $4.16. But back in end of October, it gapped up from, let's see, it closed at 47.48. It opened the next day at 49. So there's a gap that has not been filled. It gapped again on 11.5. So I think that if we do have a pullback, this is something that maybe you want to dip your toe into now, because it's, I mean, 4.16 on a dividend. But, you know, you can certainly buy this cheaper, too. So I like that holding.
One Main Holdings, OMF. And then your next one comes from the world of energy and is especially relevant given the cold snap we've been experiencing the last couple of days.
You betcha, you know, and along with its subsidiaries, distributes, stores, transports, and markets, energy products, and related services, again, across the United States, but also internationally. Now, this bad boy really jumped up on, let's see, was November 21, so just last week, and it closed at 24.78, but then it opened at 25, huge gap. And today it came down a little bit. It's trading at around 28.85, dividend of 1.5. But you know what? I love this because it's very diversified. And like you said, it's in the energy sector. So I think this is a good play.
And the it's UGI, and the ticker symbol is, wait for it, UGI. Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president, Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book, The Prescription for Healthy Retirement. Thank you for joining us on this Stock Picker Monday. Her selections, once again, One Main Holdings, OMF, and UGI Corporation, the ticker symbol UGI. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.